The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here. By the way, thanks to the last caller, because we know there's at least some resistance out there.
The resistance.
And that's good to know. We had thought, for the most part, you basically disappeared, so it was good to see it. And nice attempt, but we've been covering this too long. We've been covering this a long, long time, and the minutia of it. So to sit and try to say that the proof of collusion were the 13 Russians. No.
So there was an FBI spy in the Hillary campaign, right?
You mean an undocumented campaign worker?
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
No, we call him in the Hillary campaign. His name was Bill. But remember how they didn't include him for a while? Remember the first time that young reporter came up and asked her about all the allegations surrounding Bill and everything else? And from that point on, Bill seemed to disappear. That moment at the DNC where they looked up and pretended they had seen balloons for the first time. That was bizarre.
Balloons! We've been covering this, and so we understand and we get specific because we actually know the date. We know the exact date where the allegation first started when we discussed it, because we came back from Christmas vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been beginning of July. July 3rd, or was it the 2nd? I forgot.
January.
What did I say? Mm-hmm. January 2nd, yes. Sorry, July's on the mind.
Okay, we might not know the date, but we know the time.
It was January 2nd of 2017 when we came back and we said, where did this come from? Now it's the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians to hack the election.
Yeah.
And we followed it from that point, and then when that died out, it became that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians to change the outcome of the election, and that's what caused the special prosecutor. Special prosecutor did not come to being because 13 Russians were accused of manipulating social media to cause disharmony in a presidential election. And we remember it very well. So you may want to call and try to talk over us and come up with your own facts. Your own opinions are fine. Your own facts are not on the show.
Well, because if you have your own if you have things that are new information that are actually facts, that would, based on what you were saying, condemn Trump or anyone in his campaign, please give that to Mueller.
Yes, do that. Oh.
All right. Yeah.
What?
I'm yawning. I don't know why.
Oh, that's why. The coffee machine's broke.
No, it's not. That's fixed. I've been using it all night. It's working.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was still broken.
No, it's working.
All right.
It's fine.
Can I leave the studio now?
Or maybe it just likes me. I don't know.
I guess I have to stay here and work then. I can't make the coffee till the break.
Yeah, okay. We can go to break early. Oh, wait a minute. I'm being told we can't.
We're going to break early, so Gary, get a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I'm being told that's no, we can't.
By the way, the last caller who brought up Mueller and the 13 Russians,
mm-hmm.
This came from the lawandcrime.com website that's more liberal.
Right.
Mueller's attempt to hide evidence just got torn apart by attorneys for alleged Russian troll farm. One of the Russian companies indicted by Robert Mueller in the troll farm case has responded to the special counsel's recently filed motion to prevent discovery of evidence with the blistering court filing and somewhat trolling. On Thursday, attorneys for Concord Management and Consulting LLC timely submitted their 13-page memorandum in opposition to Mueller's requested order. And things started off, interestingly, atypical for most legal writings. The document begins, having produced not one iota of discovery in this criminal case, the unlawfully appointed special counsel requests a special and unprecedented blanket protective order covering tens of millions of pages of unclassified discovery. Having made this special request based on the secret admission to the court and the hysterical diatribe about the future of American elections, one would think that the special counsel would cite to case holdings that support this remarkable request. Whew! As an initial analytical point, referring to Mueller as an unlawfully appointed, is an out-of-character own goal here by Concord Management's attorneys. Mueller's appointment is certainly lawful in and itself, and that's not really the serious point of contention. But the memo continues, but no, instead the special counsel seeks to equate this make-believe electioneering case to others involving international terrorism and major drug trafficking and relies only on irrelevant dicta from the inopposite, primarily out-of-circuit cases, in short, fake law, which is much more dangerous than fake news. Wow. While making their case for why Mueller's blanket protective order should not be granted, Concord Management cites the wide-ranging nature of the request itself, nothing. The special counsel seeks the unprecedented process of prohibiting defense counsel from sharing or discussing any discovery with any co-defendant, including the only person affiliated with Concord named in the indictment, unless those individuals come to the United States to become hostages of this political game of tit-for-tat. Concord's description here is essentially correct. Mueller's protective order would be unprecedented in the district. As noted later in the filing, no published court opinion in the D.C. Circuit has ever allowed such a blanket protective order for unclassified discovery materials. The case law just isn't there. Wow. And that's from the LawAndCrime.com, which is, isn't that Dan Abrams' site?
Yes, it is.
And liberals. And there's a Mueller's attempt to hide evidence just got torn apart by attorneys for the alleged Russian troll farm. That's the 13 Russians. I wasn't going to bring it up, but just the last caller made me remember that I had that article in my pile, not thinking I was going to get to it today because we've been talking so much about the IG report. So thank you so much. Which brings us to the question that you've always asked. Does he have a case at all, or is he simply doing this? Was the whole Russian right thing and indicting them the fact that he never believed that they would actually, you know, follow up and say,
right,
okay, let's get this thing started.
They would not respond to the summons, and because remember they were in Russia, but they hired an American law firm out of Pennsylvania that responded. I fully believe that there was no intent and expectation by Mueller or anyone on his team that these 13 Russians and the companies, so-called companies they represent, were going to respond. This was kind of an empty, we'll show them, and this is us doing justice. All of a sudden, their American law firm shows up, states, and rightly so, that they have a right to discovery and the right to a speedy trial. And Mueller says, well, we're not ready. Of course you are, because you indicted.
Right, and by law, you have to be ready.
You have to,
unless there's special circumstances,
right,
which there aren't any here.
And Law and Crime rightly points out here, basically what is happening here is that what they're trying to tell the defense attorneys is that you can only view the discovery material by huddling with government lawyers. No, it doesn't work that way, because that there's absolutely when you're in defense mode and you're going through discovery, you're picking apart everything with your team and putting up the pros and cons of this information. What is exculpatory in nature, which will help to keep your clients from jail, or get a not guilty verdict. You're trying to find out the cherry picket, if you will. You're not going to sit with the government lawyers and go through this, nor should you be expected to. But that's the case that was being built here, and this is what Mueller was trying to tell the judge. Well, this is sensitive information. Well, they have a right to it. They have a right to a speedy trial.
Right.
Mueller saying he's not prepared, that they don't have a right to discovery, that if they do have a right to discovery, the government will show them what they have a right to see is absolutely bogus
and
does not serve the justice
system. And has been pointed out many times, Mueller understands the fact, and I think it is with they want a speedy trial, and I think the government regulations are once you indict, it's supposed to be 90 days, I believe.
Mm. Yeah,
90
yes,
days the process begins, and that's what they said. We want a speedy trial, get this thing going, and Mueller's backed off, and the whole point is, well, then drop the charges.
Right.
If you want all these special circumstances, sorry, you can't have it. They have a right to discovery. They have a right to analyze the discovery. Well, everything's top secret. We can't tell anything. Well, this isn't a secret court. You filed criminal charges, which will eventually be made public.
Right.
And so you can't sit there and say, well, we can't give you any of the discovery because all of it's top secret.
Right.
And therefore, since all of it's top secret, well, then you got to drop the charges.
There's no other way around it. I'm not in defense of any foreign actors who are going to be messing with our election system or any of that process. But if this is going to be a nation of laws, the laws apply to anybody who is accused. They have a right, regardless of who they are, they have a right in this case or in any case to discovery. They have a right to a speedy trial. Mueller knew this.
He knows it. Go ahead. That's where the question comes up that we ask. Did he ever intend to actually go after them?
And he did not. I'm convinced he did not.
Or was it just a public relations ploy to keep the Russian collusion narrative in the culture?
And to justify
in our news
the
culture.
Reason for, you know, his entire existence.
Right.
Because if you look at it, the indictments have been on people associated with Trump, but not associated with the actual, none of those charges were associated with the actual election.
These people weren't associated at all.
That's what I mean.
Right.
So if you look at those that are associated with Trump, none of the charges against them were associated with the election.
Right.
These people, and keep in mind, when they indicted the 13 Russians, Mueller and his team made very clear there were no Americans involved with any of the activity related to their activity in the election process. None. So it's been very clear, but everyone wants this to, it's so bizarre when you look at the IG report and the analysis of that report, wanting people to believe that there is no bias here. Really? No political bias. Yet we've got Mueller, a special prosecutor, by the way, a special prosecutor who is only in place because of the nature of the investigation. Not about Russians, not about foreign actors. It's about the Trump team, plain and simple. That's why you have a special prosecutor. You wanted someone who was not biased. Well, if it was about the Russians, nobody's biased to the Russians but the Russians. You want somebody who is independent. Well, that's because it's a sitting president. That's because of the nature of it. So to that previous caller, this is not about the whole Mueller thing. It's not about the Russians. The FBI had the authority to go after the Russians without Mueller.
Right.
A special prosecutor is there because of the nature of the investigation and who it points to or allegedly involves. And not one criminal
event has been
identified in relation to anyone on Trump's team and the election.
Right, and that's the greatest point you just made is that special prosecutor was to go after Trump in the campaign, not to go after Russians. The FBI could do that anytime.
Yep.
You have the special prosecutor, so it's viewed that there is no bias involved in going after a president.
Yes,
that's why you have a special prosecutor.
That's the only reason you have a special.
The only reason you have it.
Not so, to go after Russians. No one, right. There's no one in America that should have any bias. It's a very clear and implied and reasonable expectation that no entity or government official would have any bias for Russian actors in terms of any election or any other interference.
So the last caller, next, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, you need a tuning solution? Bully Dog Big Rig now has ECM tuning starting at $9.99. Justin Burt from Bully Dog fills us in.
We did some market research last year and listened to a bunch of the drivers out there and kind of realized that pricing was super important to some of the fellows on the road and readjusted some of our approach to the pricing in the market.
Justin tells us about the good, better, and best solution.
So the good applications for our ECM tuners would be our Watchdog, which just is a monitoring device for the drivers to keep an eye on the essential aspects of the truck, boost, heat, temperature, and the turbo, and the exhaust, and the coolant, things like that. Better would be our ECM tuner, which is where our actual aftermarket ECM calibrations come into play. That's a tuner that allows the driver to plug into their data port, load one of three pre-loaded dyno-tested calibrations that would give them either economy, power, or the third setting is an economy slash power tune, which gives them a little bit of both worlds. The best aspect would be the heavy duty GT tuner, which is basically the Watchdog and the ECM tuner into one unit. So we've got monitoring capabilities, and you've also got those three preloaded calibrations for your application that'll give you a fuel mileage or power or a little bit of both. So the website, bigrig.bullydog.com.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Jimmy in Jacksonville about the IG report. Jimmy, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. First of all, Gary and Eric, I want you to understand that as a constant listener, every night, you guys rake the political garbage, and you do an excellent job of it.
Thanks.
In regards to this IG report, I can't see how anybody can't say that this was political bias. I mean, between the DOJ and the FBI, they did everything they could do to eliminate any roadblock to Hillary all the way to the White House.
Right.
And it seems they've done everything they know how to do to create problems for Trump. Now, I realize there's two ways to communicate a message. One is through what you say, and the other is what you do. And based on behavior, these guys are guilty as sin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you look at it, if we're to believe, Jimmy, we could have a different conversation if there were no Robert Mueller in place. If after the 2016 election, everything had come out, it was like, okay, we had looked into it. We thought maybe some Russians were working with maybe some Americans or whatever it is. But there's clearly nothing there. You have Mueller in place still today, and he's moved on to, apparently, according to the leaks, he's moved on to different things like obstruction of justice for firing Comey or obstruction of justice for considering firing the special prosecutor or things like this. But no one has been able to point to a criminal event with the election and anyone in the campaign itself intact. It didn't happen. Mueller's been there over a year now, and the only thing you have is, going back to this investigation, very clear political motivation. Peter Strzok said it, we'll stop him. We'll stop him. Well, here we are. They're still trying to stop him based on what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's ludicrous.
Well, here's it. Down in the boondocks where I live, mm-hmm. Jacksonville, Florida,
mm-hmm.
the general perception is that the FBI and the DOJ, they have damaged their reputation beyond repair.
Yes, and you're right, Jimmy. And I think beyond that, they've also damaged this country, because they make a president, while he may not be a perfect president, they make him look worse by implying that he didn't get there legitimately.
The Bona Show.
And he is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, I got my coffee.
All right.
The machine hasn't been working for 10 days.
I know.
I was in here yawning before, and now I'm completely and totally wide awake.
I tapped it like the Fonz.
Hey.
Anybody ever come to the conclusion he was stealing?
No.
Okay. He's getting free plays on the jukebox.
He's getting violent with it, too, when he was, you know,
yeah.
with his...
Boom.
By the way, what's Opie up to lately?
I don't know.
But where's he in politics now?
I don't know.
And what about his brother?
Yeah. Did he directed so?
I didn't mean movie wise. I meant politically.
Okay. Yeah,
politically.
Yeah.
Remember I can't think of his younger brother's name.
Oh yeah.
Clint.
Clint is more of a conservative.
Remember, he put together a couple of conservative videos probably
right.
10 years ago.
Right.
Oh, speaking of that. Now,
so does that mean, is Clint in solo? Because, you know, he appears in most of his brother's
yes,
movies.
They're friendly.
Yeah.
They love each other, even though they disagree on politics, they're very friendly.
Yeah.
But I said the videos were 10 years ago. I think Wednesday was the 10th anniversary of the death of Tim Russert.
Wow.
And that just blows my mind because I can't believe it was that long. And you and I had a discussion in our pre-show meeting because you were gone for the last couple of days. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but we did just a little bit. What would it be like if you still had a Tim Russert doing Meet the Press today?
Yeah. You know, I think the 2008 election, we said it back then. I think the 2008 election would have been different. I don't know that it would have gone any other way. It would have ended in any other way. But then you think about also the 2012 election. You think about Andrew Breitbart, the passing of an Andrew Breitbart. And Tim Russert was more mainstream. The Sunday morning thing, you really... What was the old saying? In order to get to the White House, you got to sit down in front of Tim Russert first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true. And he was a guy really great at his job. That if it didn't matter who was sitting across from him, you knew you were going to face very, I thought, fair but tough questions about your past, about, you know, things you've, positions you've held in the past, everything else. I think the 2008 election season would have been different. Again, I don't know if the result would have been different, but it certainly would have been different because he had that kind of impact on the political scene inside the Beltway in general. I don't know what I would, you know, we can never know, but I do question what would it be like with social media the way it is. 2012, the way it happened, but then 2016. What would 2016 have been?
Well, let me ask you this:
Tim Russert?
Would anybody go on his show anymore?
See, there's there's the thing: is that he could be another Tucker Carlson, or it could have that same effect that they know they're going to be grilled, so they're not going to jump on with you. They're not going to come on your show. They're going to set that guideline. And if you want to have whoever it is, Trump or Hillary or whoever it would have been, I'm sure they would have insisted that they be treated a certain way or have a certain set of questions. Tim Russert wasn't about that. You weren't going to do Tim Russert's homework for him, regardless of who you were.
Now, Tim Russert, when he wrote his book about his dad and everything else, Tim Russert grew up just a few miles from where I did. He grew up more though in South Buffalo, and he never hit his politics. I mean, he worked for Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrat, and was well known in Democrat circles, but always said that his job was, whoever my guest is, take the opposite opinion, get all the audio cuts. See what they're promoting now and get all the audio cuts of them in video in the past of saying something differently and right. then question them on it. That was right. basically his philosophy, which I think most people thought was fair. To that point, I remember back in 2004 being in Des Moines for the Democratic primary, covering that for our local affiliate when I worked at WBAP and covering mm-hmm. it for that and ABC Radio. Mm-hmm. And so there I am in the middle. I mean, I'm in the hotel where all the Democrats are staying, all of them.
Right.
Everyone. I don't care whether it was the Sharpton people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It didn't matter if it was the John Kerry people. It didn't matter who it was. They all hated him.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wow. Okay, I know people on the right hate him, but everybody on the left seems to hate him, too,
mm-hmm.
which is what you really want.
Yeah.
I was talking when you were gone the other day. I said it was a perfect day for a talk show host because I wish Eric was here because he'd be laughing with me. But I had a few people calling us too pro-Trump, so they're never going to listen again, and a few more calling us too anti-Trump, and we're never going to listen mm-hmm. again. And mm-hmm. I had to explain, we're not anti or pro-Trump. We're anti or pro the issues that we believe in, and we say, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Mm-hmm. Trump is the president now. Trump mm-hmm. won't always be the president.
Right.
We had the same opinion when W was president.
Mm-hmm.
Had the same one had opinion when George Herbert Walker Bush was president, when Clinton was president. Didn't matter. It's who you are. Matters to you, matters to your family, matters to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
To us, you are a civil servant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at it and say, do you agree with us or disagree with us? Here's what we believe in. Why? Here's why we believe it. Okay, that's where you believe it. Disagrees with us. What's your explanation?
Right.
Oh, it's a good explanation. That's a bogus explanation. That's it. It's very simple. There is nothing on the surface level emotional about it, even though we probably get passionate once in a while about our political opinions. But there's nothing personal about it. It's what works and what doesn't work. And we do live in the days now of a little bit more tribalism that probably didn't exist to the level that existed even 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe we can go back to, before 2008. Not that people weren't partisan, but the tribalism that exists today, and probably part of it is social media, because people can band together on social media and be with their own crowd. But even as I stated the other day, I said, we'll get people that will initially, come at us and say, you need to support this person on everything. And they'll be furious at us. And we'll get an email or whatever, even a phone call. And we'll say, mm-hmm. well, come on, wait a minute. This thing that they're saying is BS and you know it. Yeah, I know, but if I don't support my candidate completely, the other side supporting theirs completely. Oh, okay, so once you get by the shell, you realize, okay, you're actually a critical thinker, but on the outside, you put up that wall of total and complete loyalty because you know that the opposition's doing the same thing.
Right.
But when you actually start talking to all different people, you find out that the average person out there, even if they are the most supportive of their candidate, we'll use Donald Trump as an example, they know he's a human being and they know what his strong points are and his weak points are.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually get down to it, when they realize that you're not there to demonize them, they'll open up.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, I wish you didn't do this. Okay, yeah, but don't you like this? Yeah, I like this. Yeah, I don't. It's that outer shell that I think we put up, and I think part of it might be because of social media.
Sure,
that as soon as you put your opinion in, you are demonized, you are classified, and so here's where I'm going to stick. It's this. I'm all in. And you may be all in for your candidate. Look, I don't support the Republican Party like I used to, with money and time and energy and everything else, because they've moved further away. But I support the my beliefs. But I support them and vote for them exclusively over the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I talked about, Ben Shapiro and Jonah Goldberg had that podcast. Ben Shapiro and I are part of our company.
Mm-hmm.
His great podcast now in our show. But they were never Trumpers. They didn't vote for him. But they said, we still look at him and we judge him on every, you know, whatever he does. Everything right. is individual. Do I agree with this? Okay, here's why Trump is right. And that's why Shapiro came up with basically on Facebook, good Trump, bad Trump.
Right.
which I always find enjoyable because as soon as I see the headline, I burst out laughing. And we're the opposite. We voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand people that did not, because to me, if you're a conservative, you're never going to get the perfect candidate, and it was a binary choice, her or him.
Mm-hmm.
There really wasn't any third choice.
Yeah.
Her or him, and so you go for the candidate that best will serve the direction of where you see the country is going. Not on everything.
No. There was one thing that really, it wasn't the turning point. I don't know that there was a turning point. But during the 2016 election year, the 800-page report from the Republicans on Benghazi.
Yeah.
And I rewatched 13 Hours the other day. And I had to stop in the middle of it and go back to that report. I actually did. I paused it. And I thought, I want to go back and review some things because I had some questions. And it really hit home on how important, I guess, or really what that binary choice is about when you're looking at the other person. Not because I personally disliked Hillary Clinton. It's because I thought she was a wholly dishonest, still is a wholly dishonest person. She's part of that elite left that Chris Matthews was railing against the other day. This is part of that elitist attitude that these women only vote because their husband tells them how to vote, because their son or their boss tells them how to vote. That's what she thinks. By the way, she's endorsed Cuomo in New York, so clearly she's following Bill's lead.
Oh, that's
right?
The best.
Over the female candidate,
sorry,
Nixon.
That is the best.
Yeah. But that's that elitist attitude that you must be a moron to vote for Trump if you're a female. It must be because your husband or your son or your boss told you to do it. So it goes beyond just one thing. That whole Benghazi thing and the lies surrounding it was absolutely disturbing, pathetic, and tragic on many levels. And it was at that point, it was like, see, this is why the binary choice will always be the binary choice. There's not going to be, as you mentioned, a perfect candidate. It's not going to happen.
Well, you're not running.
Exactly. That's why, because I just announced I'm not running. Therefore, there will never be a perfect candidate. But you have to look at that situation. The question is it hatred for a person based on nothing, or is it based on a whole series of events that are very, very real? With me and Hillary, they were and still are very real.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So as basically, if we're going to conclude just for today, and again, this is a long IG report that we will also absorb over this week, and I'm sure have further discussions on, this is not the conclusion of all the investigations. It's just not another piece in the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to spin it. We talked about the fact that, you know, how many times you see the headline, no political bias, no political bias. Not what the inspector general actually said.
Right.
It's important to know. No documented political bias in the decision making, which means nobody sent an email out saying, we're going to exonerate Hillary because we hate Trump.
Right. Staff, Director Comey.
Right.
Attention staff. Later today, this will be the morning of July 5th, 2016. Later today, I'll announce that because... because I hate Trump and want Hillary to win, later this morning I'm going to be announcing that no reasonable prosecutor would pursue where she clearly broke the law.
Right.
Have a good day. Signed,
right.
JC.
It doesn't say that you can't look at it and say, oh, there's plenty of circumstantial evidence that makes it so the American public has no confidence in the FBI.
Right.
Because when you say, okay, we're going to start an investigation on this particular campaign, and what you hear is the communications throughout that law enforcement organization that we want to get this guy, we need to solve this menace, and you're the investigative agency on it, tell me that the American public then has any confidence in your credibility to do your credibility and integrity to do a fair investigative job from a criminal justice point of view. And the answer would be no.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks for being here. Welcome to the bonus show and the bonus hour, right?
It is the bonus hour, which translates into we'd like to go home.
In the news today, there is no bias in the FBI, nor has there ever been.
And nor will there ever be. And no one in Washington has a political opinion. So there.
The Inspector General's report coming out yesterday. And before we go any further, because we know, you know, it's a lot of people that start out listening to the show, we put them to sleep.
Yes.
And
we
then
do.
And then others.
Not like a mean dog. We just mean they actually go to sleep. We'd be very careful how we word that.
And then we're like an alarm with our annoying voices. We're like alarm clocks, so we wake people up by the end of the show. So again, the one conclusion that immediately I got out of this was, oh, well, after this IG report that has come out, it's absolutely justified that Trump should have fired Comey, but should have fired him a lot earlier. And if you were listening to yesterday's show, you weren't here, Eric, but I was stating the fact that nobody ever knows anything. Everybody's stupid. FBI is
right,
stupid.
Right.
Comey is stupid. They're just all stupid.
See, they're just stupid. They're not bad people. They're just stupid.
Hillary didn't know what a cement on a classified document. They're all just stupid people running the government. They're completely and totally incompetent, and that's our defense. That they are tremendous people to be leading this nation.
That's right. Comey shouldn't have been fired and Hillary should have won.
So that's what I got out of it immediately. The other thing is, let's not start thinking that this is the be-all, end-all. It's just another piece of the puzzle. Also, let's be careful that what we hear from the media out there, because I saw the headlines, Inspector General says no bias. Well, of course, you see that, and you're going to say, what, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, there's bias.
Well, this guy's just a complete and total hack. What do you mean there was no bias? No bias in the FBI. And as Kimberly Strassel and others, Kimberly from the Wall Street Journal, pointed out, that's not what he said.
That's not what he said. There is, in fact... I can pull it up again for our listening.
Why don't you pull it up
for our listening pleasure?
As I get Trey Gowdy ready here to speak in a moment.
And now for our listening pleasure. And this is directly from the report. In assessing the decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over following up on the mid-year related investigative lead discovered on the Wiener laptop. We were particularly concerned about text messages sent by Strzok and Page that potentially indicated or created the appearance that investigative decisions they made were impacted by bias or improper considerations. Most of the text messages raising such questions pertain to the Russia investigation, and the implication in some of these text messages, particularly Strzok's August 8th text message, "will stop candidate Trump from being elected," was that Strzok might be willing to take official action to impact a presidential candidate's electoral prospects. Under these circumstances, we did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over following up on the mid-year related investigative lead discovered on the Wiener laptop was free from bias. We searched for evidence that the Wiener laptop was deliberately placed on the back burner by others in the FBI to protect Clinton, but found no evidence in emails, text messages, instant messages, or documents that suggested an improper purpose. What that means is there was nothing in writing, nor would there be.
Right, and when you look at Comey and his decisions where they said there was no evidence of a documented political bias, it was that Comey didn't write a memo saying, "Staff, I am going to exonerate Hillary Clinton because we hate Donald Trump."
Right.
It doesn't mean that the absolute perception to the casual viewer would be, "You people are completely and totally biased, and I have no confidence that the investigation that you did was fair in any way."
We did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over following up on the mid-year related investigative lead discovered on the Wiener laptop was free from bias.
Right.
It's very clear.
And the other first thought that came to my mind was, well, no political bias. It was pure hate bias. I hated Trump. That's technically not political. It's just pure hatred.
That's true. That's true. They do have a point.
Or maybe it was simply gender bias. Political bias. It was gender bias.
Right.
We like Hillary over the man.
There you go.
The woman over the man. It was gender bias, mm-hmm. which then we would respond, but did Donald Trump ever identify what he is, and did Hillary ever self-identify as to what she was to you? How dare you make the assumption of your genders to begin with?
Right. Why bring up gender? Oh, wait, I think we did.
Can you sort of tell this is the last hour of a long week?
Well, it's because the insanity is everywhere. It really is. It's the reason we insist on laughter. That's just like, that's the steam to release the pressure a little bit, because otherwise, I'm pretty sure both of our heads would have exploded years ago. But the insanity in the analysis of all this yesterday. Well, see, there's no bias. There's no. I think that one line here, in terms of the relation to Strzok and Page, we did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Strzok's decision. By the way, that should be something too, because there was some analysis that implied Strzok was not in a position of making important decisions. That analysis is also wrong when you listen to this line. That under these circumstances, we did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over the lead on the Wiener laptop was free from bias. I shortened that because I repeated it, but that's very clear that they were concerned about this bias, especially in that in prioritizing the Russia investigation.
As Horowitz said in his report, he was the day-to-day supervisor, as he referred to Horowitz, on the Hillary investigation. Mm-hmm. Strzok was.
Right.
And he was the lead investigator in the Russian collusion investigation. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, you could say that ended July 5th. So was he still technically the lead But it seems like it, since he was in the discussion about it, you know, as Horowitz has him in there, that you can make the assumption he was still in the lead at that particular point.
Right.
Or had management level responsibilities concerning it.
And Strzok's text message on August 8th is when he included that we'll stop him, we'll stop Trump. That was after July 5th.
Right. Yes.
So again, that shows you political motivation past the end of that investigation in terms of the Hillary thing on July 5th, where it supposedly ended before it was reopened with the information found on the Wiener laptop. So it's, if you need help putting the puzzle together, I know some three-year-olds. This is just one piece of the puzzle. Because what has to be, I think everything that has to be considered here is that the IG can only work within what the FBI owns in terms of current employees and any data or information that they own, that is theirs. They can't go outside that scope. They're an internal watchdog. They can't go outside the FBI. They can't go on to the other political operatives or any other department or anything else at the government. It's right there within, you know, those four walls. So they're limited on that. It's up to us to go. And the scope of that had to do with the 2016. We have learned a lot of information since then. And since then, a special prosecutor has been put in place to investigate supposedly the Trump team, because you don't need a special prosecutor to investigate the Russians. A caller a little while ago was trying to make the point that this was all about the Russians. Nope. A special prosecutor is put in place because they're assigned because you're trying to show that they are independent, that they are not going to be biased because the investigation involves the current, in this case, the current president. That's why a special prosecutor is put in place. The FBI can go after the Russians anytime.
They went out, also, the inspector general went after Mr. Comey for the conscious decision not to tell, this is the quote, conscious decision not to tell the Justice Department leadership about his plans to independently announce the end of the investigation at his July 5th press conference.
Right.
The IG also went after him for his actions just 11 days before the presidential election. The decision to prosecute belongs to the Attorney General and the Justice Department, not the FBI. And the also point was, the other point was, the FBI does not release derogatory information on someone against whom it's not bringing charges against. They found it. Here it is. Here's a quote from the report. Quote, we found that it was extraordinary and insubordinate for Comey to conceal his intentions from his superiors, the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, for the admitted purpose of preventing them from telling him not to make the statement and to instruct his subordinates in the FBI to do the same, end of quote. Comey, and again, here's a quote again, Comey waited until the morning of his press conference to inform Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates of his plans to hold one without them, and did so, though, after first notifying the press. As a result, Lynch's office learned about Comey's plans via press inquiries rather than from Comey. Moreover, when Comey spoke to Lynch, he didn't tell her what he intended to say in his statement. That's a quote from the actual inspector general. You and I talked about this before, and the question that we had, because in Comey's book, and this was a huge thing, Comey said that, well, I had to do that because we had unverifiable, classified information from a source that was so damaging to the credibility of the Justice Department and Loretta Lynch, that I had to take it upon myself to do that. That's never been investigated. Now, either he's lying or it's the truth. And what was that information? And it wasn't verified when he was FBI director. Has it been verified since? We need to know that information.
Well, actually, we do. It's the next paragraph in the IG report from what you just quoted. Comey cited several factors that he said influenced his decision to make a statement on his own and without coordinating with the department. In addition to public comments made by former President Obama and his White House press secretary about the mid-year investigation, Comey cited four things that he said caused him to be concerned that Lynch could not credibly participate in announcing a declination. Her alleged instruction to call the mid-year investigation a matter in a meeting held on September 28, 2015, which Comey said, quote, made his spider sense tingle and caused him to, quote, worry that she's carrying water for the Clinton campaign, end quote, concerns that highly classified information referencing Lynch would be publicly released and would impact her credibility. The tarmac meeting between Lynch and former President Bill Clinton and the fact that Lynch was appointed by a president that was the same political party as secretary.
Okay. We don't know what that information is, though. I thought you had that, I missed that.
But it addresses that.
Yes.
So it puts it in a formal, it has been addressed formally.
Formally,
now.
Right.
And that is the reason that's important.
But he didn't address whether it's credible or not.
No, he didn't. But it has addressed it formally now outside of the media interview process or the book or anything else that is really not a formal setting. It's just him making a claim. Now the question has to be, what are you talking about when you're essentially kind of throwing your former boss under the bus? And you couple that with his deputy director, McCabe, asking why he was being singled out, which implies that his superiors, McCabe's superiors, were also involved in the whatever he was being accused of. So when you put all that together, it sounds like people are getting ready to CYA.
We have a lot of questions.
We do.
Still. 866-90-RED-EYE.
On the world corn production scene, two things are happening.
Both positive for U.S. producers.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Seth Meyer says, first, this corn crop in Brazil, suffering from drought, could be at least 13% smaller than the year before, and so
a little less competition from the Brazilians.
The other event is what looks to be a smaller than expected Russian corn crop in the ground right now, a surprise for most analysts.
The economics really did suggest that the Russians would plant more corn area, but in fact, that isn't what occurred. It's a fairly flat corn area year over year.
So with Brazil's smaller second crop corn harvest and Russia's smaller plantings this spring,
that provides us a little bit of opportunity
to export this upcoming corn crop, maybe get a higher price for it as well. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, going over the minutia of it still, which is just driving. That's why you and I said there are so many pages to this that you can't absorb, but we won't have it fully absorbed probably till sometime next week, because we're even still discussing information of the IG and how they view what Comey said to them. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll.
It may seem like the parsing of words, but it is important.
It's important,
because
yes,
the truth is important. And when we start changing the meaning of words or saying, well, I didn't really mean that when I said this, what I really meant was this, it's important to get to the truth. It's important that the American people know who's watching guard. We're a nation of laws. This will always be important to our nation. We can talk about the politics of it all, but when the politics rules the agency that's to be, again, the guard, the investigative agency, premier investigative agency of the world, that becomes something different. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
After some heavy rain moved through North Dakota along I-94, we'll continue to see those showers move eastward throughout the day today, mainly around Duluth on I-35 and over to Marquette throughout the day on I-28. We do have some relief in sight for the south, where widespread excessive heat and fire weather conditions have been persisting across the desert southwest. Now, that system known as Bud will be moving onshore, and we talk about relief, but it could come as a little too much, as the potential for flash flooding exists. Tomorrow, the center of the storm will be near the southern Baja Peninsula of Mexico's Baja Sur near La Paz. Most of the nation's coastal areas will be dry today, with the exception of the New Orleans area and the coastal Carolinas. Overall, the best of the weekend beach days will be Saturday. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. Our audio cut of the day coming up, 866-90-RED-EYE.
To have the conversation. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
Shut up. Oh, we're supposed to have the conversation.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Red Eye Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, big guy.
All right, you ready?
All right, what do you got?
Our audio cut of the day, we have to go to Trey Gowdy.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he looks really ticked off.
He did
when he
not
was on with Brett Baer. I mean,
did
he's
not
really,
look
really
happy, yeah.
Not at all, but here's a little bit of their back and forth.
Chairman Gowdy, first to you, just a broad overview. What strikes you about this report? What's hit you when you look at the 568 pages?
Just what a dark day it is for the FBI and the DOJ, two institutions our country desperately needs. We desperately have to be able to have confidence in them. And this level of bias and animus, not only did he want to stop the Trump campaign, he wanted to stop the Trump presidency. This
You're
is an FBI.
Peter Strzok,
the FBI agent who was on Hillary Clinton's investigation and arguably the lead Russia investigator, not only wanted to stop his campaign, but once he won, got on the Mueller probe because he wanted to impeach him. That is a level of animus and bias that everyone should reject. And Chris Wray, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Chris, there are consequences. The consequences are that your fellow citizens question whether or not they can have confidence in the world's premier law enforcement agency, and that's coming from somebody who's defended him a lot throughout his career. This was a bitterly disappointing report.
Chairman Goodlatte.
Well, first of all, this report shows that there was special treatment given to Hillary Clinton in the investigation of her case. There is not standard procedures followed in investigating her, and there was special treatment given. There's no doubt that this was not proper process, and the report shows time and time again how Director Comey and others made mistakes, errors in judgment, or deliberate. People can draw their own conclusions, but it was improperly handled. And as Trey said, you then put that up against how the investigation has been handled into the so-called Trump-Russia collusion, and you have a contrast that is shocking in terms of how they handled one presidential campaign compared to another. It's got to be investigated further. Changes have got to be made. I will compliment Director Wray on some of the personnel changes that have been made. I will compliment him on saying that there are sobering lessons learned from this. We need to see changes made so in 2020 we don't see another presidential campaign handled like this.
So when you hear Republicans and people who've been looking into this and say this 568 pages is there's just not a lot there, or that Horowitz kind of left something on the table, how do you respond to that?
This is a very thorough investigation. He takes minutiae and examines each piece carefully, draws his conclusions, and I commend him. I think it's a well-done report. Now, I never expected he would find every single thing, as some critics have said, but he did find all kinds of irregularities here. When you couple that with the the struck page texts, including this new one that has come out recently, where part of it was redacted, by the way. We only recently learned the whole sentence about how he's going to stop Donald Trump from being president of the United States. That is improper for the FBI. And quite frankly, this is the world's premier law enforcement organization, and it's besmirching the reputation of tens of thousands of brave men and women who keep us safe, prevent terrorist attacks, fight crime every single day. And a handful of people in the hierarchy of the organization have caused serious damage.
All right, let's put up the August 8th, 2016. That is the one where Page says Trump's never going to be president, right, and struck text back. That part was redacted in the documents you received. No, he's not. We'll stop it. Here's another part that we believe in November 22nd, 2016, FBI Attorney 1. Is it making you rethink your commitment to the Trump administration? I think that's Lisa Page. Attorney 2, hell no, viva la resistance. And we believe that's Peter Strzok. Let me play this soundbite, Congressman Gowdy, from Jim Comey in his interview here in Special Report. I asked about these struck page texts and if he knew now what he knew then, what he would do.
I'd have removed both of them from any contact with significant investigations.
So shouldn't their work...
Including those involving anybody connected to President Trump, but beyond that.
Because so it's just such poor judgment. Shouldn't their work product then be questioned?
Sure, it's a reasonable question to ask.
So
they were bad-mouthing everybody, including the candidate Trump.
So Peter Strzok interviews Hillary Clinton, deals with the bleach bit and the server and Cheryl Mills, all of that, interviews Michael Flynn, and is integral in this whole case.
But he's one of many other people involved in all the things you just ticked off. When I saw the text, I was deeply disappointed in them, but I never saw any bias.
Any bias?
Well, he's not reading the same text I'm reading. I mean, Peter Strzok said that the vote should be 100 million to zero. He can't think of a single solitary American that should vote for Donald Trump to be president. He said he'll stop it as a candidate. He talked about impeachment once he won. Actually, Director Comey unwittingly just proved the point of the question you asked him on follow-up. Would you have kept him on the investigation had you known what you know now? And he said no. Okay, why not? Because bias is that insidious, that is that pervasive. It colors your ability to do what we need the FBI to do, which is to be fair and fact-centric. So, of course, you're going to fire him the day you learn. In my head, I go back, when did you start working on the case? That's when you should have been fired. So whatever he did on either of these investigations, Brett, it has to be viewed through the prism that he can't think of a single solitary person that should vote for this man to be president.
And that's, again, where I would, I understand, and you and I talked about this before when we played that audio cut. Then we know it was a long audio cut, but I wanted to get to that particular point with Trey Gowdy, that we know the inspector general said there's no documented evidence, but there was fireable evidence.
Yes.
There's absolutely
right.
Fire. And Gowdy agrees with it. You've got Comey agreeing that if, you know, and again, he claims he didn't see any of it. And we find it interesting, especially with McCabe stating, you know, why are you singling me out? Which indicates that people above him also knew what was going on.
Yeah. Why am I to blame?
But the fact is, everybody is in unison that this is so bad that as soon as you found this out, everybody would have fired him, which means you have to assume that everything in the investigation, remember, and as Horowitz said, day to day, he was the supervisor, the day to day supervisor of the Hillary investigation. He was the lead investigator in the Russian collusion investigation. And so Comey's even admitting, oh, yeah, he should have been fired as soon as we, you know, if I would have seen that, he would have been fired immediately. So it's all a fireable offense, which means anything that he touched is absolutely tainted. So for the inspector general to come out and say, I could not find any evidence, if you're going to make that statement, I didn't find any documented evidence of political bias in the decision making, the next sentence behind that has to be, but the circumstantial evidence, if you're going to make that conclusion and not, because he made it in one statement
right,
about Peter Strzok, but you need to make that in the conclusion. in that same sentence, but the incredible bias by Strzok and his lead position in both of these
yes.
investigations taints this investigation to look like it's all based on political bias.
Well, you have a clear Trump hater, which would and which implies Hillary supporter, no doubt, in charge of the Hillary investigation. He was in a position because there were some analysis coming out during the day yesterday that was saying, well, see, it was just saying that Strzok and Page may have been biased, but they really didn't. They were not single decision makers in and of themselves. Actually, in terms of the day-to-day supervisor,
which he was
of that investigation, that's where that has crossed the line. He was in a position of power. He was not in the mailroom. He was there in a position of power.
And in a position of power and a position of influence
yes.
among other investigators that he was their supervisor.
And that he was in charge of what? Directives.
Yep.
If you are a supervisor, you're directing people on that investigation. That's the whole point of that position. So you couple that position of power with the nature of what you know, the political bias, and that's where you don't have to have anything documented. That in and of itself, as you point out, that right there should have been a disqualifier for Peter Strzok and should have sent him packing at that point. You cannot have him in charge of that investigation.
And that's why I believe the inspector general should have brought that up, because the inspector general is not just about criminal things. He's about, you know, things that should, you know, get you fired. He's the watchdog of it. So if you
right.
do something as someone who is in management of law enforcement in the Department of Justice, and you do something that's a fireable offense, he should be talking about the inspector general. This is a fireable offense, and he should have been, you know, we believe that based on the protocol of the FBI, he should have been fired for doing it, because that's what Comey said.
Right.
Also,
right.
he should have been. And so I think, and maybe that will be brought up when he is questioned last week, but I think in order to be fair, if you're going to make that statement that the media jumped on, that they perverted the statement, it came out, there was no political bias in the investigation. Not what he said.
That's not what he said.
So there was no political bias that they could document. But if he's going to do that in the conclusion or summary, then right after that, he has to have right. So the media can't parse one and forget about the other. You can't have one at this part of the report and the other one, you know, in another section. It's all got to be put together, because you're talking about, if you're talking about political bias, you can't ignore the political bias that existed from the lead investigator.
Right. The fact that he was in that position. That should have been enough. If it was the attorney general's position at the time to leave it to the FBI on the recommendation, stopping short of recusing herself, then in this case, certainly at that level, a Peter Strzok should not have been in charge of that investigation, knowing his political bias, clearly. But no, they were just stupid. Comey just didn't know.
Well, again,
when
Comey says he had no idea what was going on. By the way, that's not believable, because as you could tell, Strzok was it seemed like he felt free on work email.
Yes.
To promote exactly how he believed.
Yes.
And I don't do that on my work email.
No.
I don't talk politics on my work email.
Nope.
And I'm not investigating anybody.
Right.
Email, texting, whatever.
You're paid to be political
right.
by the company.
Right. I don't bring that up on text messages. I don't do that.
Right. It should be about the work.
Right. Not with work people.
Right.
Well, with you, because now, with you, I do, because
yeah.
we talk politics
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you
understand the point I'm trying to do. In other jobs, you just don't do that.
And when you wrote colleagues recently and you said, we'll stop him, you were referring to me going to the vending machine every hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Or interrupting me. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. We got great shows coming up next week. Just in the last half hour, things that we've broken down that we haven't got a chance to talk about just in the Inspector General's report to begin with. And also the Supreme Court decision, Eric, the Minnesota voting decision, the guy walking in with a T-shirt on.
Right.
Political T-shirt.
Political clothing is protected by free speech.
Yeah.
That decision, by the way, a 7-2
even
decision.
Even at the voting booth.
Yes. So it's you can walk in with a political T-shirt. That's your expression. Right. You're not at that point when you walk into the booth, you are a citizen.
A citizen. Right.
Now, you may also work for a campaign. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You're a citizen in that moment.
Now,
you can't carry a sign and post that sign within a certain range. But if that's your political clothing, if that's. Because that at that point, when you walk in to vote, that is you expressing your opinion and, of course, casting your vote. That's you as a citizen, and that political clothing is protected by free speech.
And of course, the main reason to listen Monday is, you know, golf talk.
Yes, the U.S. Open. And Monday is also another decision day at SCOTUS.
Yes,
could
it
we
is.
See
yes.
the Hawaii case decision on Monday?
Darn it, we forgot to talk about soccer in the World Cup this week.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Maybe
put that in the notes.
Maybe we won't talk about that next week either.
And possibly not the next week after that.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.